the recent history of the way in which we've engaged with the question of slavery in America's past, the Brown Report, documentaries like Traces of the Trade, the New York Historical Society's exhibit on slavery in New York, the anniversary of the end of the slave trade in England. One of the things I found fascinating is that it provides extraordinary evidence that the public is ready for a difficult conversation that in many ways we tend to underestimate the capacity of people to really deal with and their desire to deal with these problems. When her cousin, I believe it is in the documentary, was saying that, you know, reacting to this slave trading port and this material culture of the slave trade that's surrounding him. One of the things I like to remember, remind people is that the things that white Americans find difficult and horrific, that generate feelings of guilt and fear, are also actually troubling and horrific and difficult for black Americans. And in that very fact, there's the possibility of a real, genuine, and useful conversation about slavery and American society. I think we're moving toward that. We're moving there slowly, but we are getting there. And I think the public is actually ahead of the rest of us at times. See, I think the media tends to be more conservative and afraid of these discussions than the public are. And if you look at the tremendous crowds that showed up for those exhibits, you actually see evidence of that.
I want to thank you both for being with us. Craig Stephen Wilder, his new book is Ebony and Ivy, Race, Slavery, and the Troubled History of America's Universities. He's a professor of American history at MIT. I also want to thank Katrina Brown, producer and director of the documentary Traces of the Trade, a Story from the Deep North. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Dina Guzder, Robbie Karen. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Amy. This is WHFR Dearborn. And now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. Yes, we're live in the studios there at Henry Ford Community College to do the show today. Unlike WDET, Craig Folley took the day off. Well, good for him because he's on 5 days a week. We're only on once a week usually, right, Dennis?
Once a week.
Yeah, and Dennis Reimars, our WHFR news director, is here today sitting on the other side of the desk. Thank you so much for covering for me the last few weeks. Hopefully I can get a little bit more regular in the future, pardon the expression.
Well, I learned a lot, so thank you for being gone. No, no, actually, it's always more fun with you here, but we have to thank John Conroy, too.
John Conroy has been doing a great job, and you may be hearing his voice here. But we are, you know, pretty much an all-volunteer station, folks, and the volunteers are going to have some special programming that they produce coming up for the holidays. But by golly, they're going to be here pretty much giving you music that other stations don't play, and some news and information here on the Journal too. And we're going to be broadcasting pretty much regularly with new stuff every Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock, and of course it's on our website archived there if you want to listen at any time after the fact. Today is Black Friday, Dennis, and were you out last night after turkey dinner shopping?
No, and I found it, maybe I haven't been paying attention over the last few years, but isn't this one of the first times that they actually started Black Friday on Thursday morning?
I think somebody said that one store or two started last year on Thanksgiving, but it's crazy because where is it going to expand to? It's going to, like, every day of the year?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I could never quite understand how they get more business by extending it more days. Why not just have, you know, the usual sales all the time? But they can get rid of a lot of items, I guess, that are a year or two old.
Exactly.
And people buying them so quickly, they don't realize that it's not the latest model or something.
Some people just, they don't want or can't afford the latest model. But, you know, these stores, I see they're loss leaders, the things that they're actually going out and pretty much giving away. And I think the hope, like when you go to a restaurant, they hope that you'll buy the whole meal, you'll get the drink, because that's pure they're hoping that you'll buy some other things while you're there. I talked to a store owner, and it wasn't a small store owner, but a manager of one of the chain restaurant or chain retail stores, and he said the same thing. He says, what are we going to do now? Are we going to start at the day after Halloween? Mm-hmm. You know, are we going to have the whole month of November be a shopping spree? So, no, I think the people in retail are kind of fed up, too.
It's a matter of getting people's attention and, of course, getting them to show up. But just hopefully everybody can be safe about it and not drive crazy.
Oh, they were
trample anybody at the opening of the doors of the stores and try to remember what the holidays are supposed to be about. But this is fun for some people, the people camping out in freezing weather for 3 days.
That sounds like fun.
This is really fun. Here's a comment from Jim Hightower. We normally feature his comments, but one of his comments is this week about Black Thanksgiving. So here's Jim Hightower. We'll be right back after it, but take a listen.
Here comes Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, and Christmas. It's a month-long season of friends and family, spiritual reflection, and time to decompress from our usual helter-skelter lives, right? Good Lord, shout the corporate bosses. Are you nuts? Do you think America is some kind of Norman Rockwell fantasy land? This is the season of mass consumerism, bucko. So lift your tail end out of that lazy boy and hit the malls, pronto. And if you happen to have a job in a chain store, don't even think about taking a holiday, or you won't have a job the next day. Let us now praise the one God we all serve, Mammon. Years ago, Macy's started Black Friday as a kickoff to this holy month of frenzied commercialization. But it produced such a surge of profit that Walmart and other chains converted to the Church of Perpetual Selling. Black Friday originally began the day after Thanksgiving. Last year, though, reaching for more, the Elmer gantries of Walmart dared to desecrate Thanksgiving itself by opening their doors to the Black Friday masses at 8 p.m. on Thursday night. This year, with Macy's, Target, Toys R Us, JCPenney, Best Buy, Kohl's, and others also pushing the Friday shop-a-rama into Thursday, Walmart will open at 6 p.m., intruding even deeper into Thanksgiving's family dinner hour. But Kmart says it will open at 6 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning. Yes, 6 a.m. Still, a Walmart executive says, we thought 6 o'clock p.m. was the exact right time to win the weekend. Wow, did you ever think of Thanksgiving as something to win? But then, your spiritual devotion to Mammon probably isn't as ardent as that executive's. Meanwhile, the same guy reports that the 1 million low-wage workers who will have to staff the Thanksgiving profit grab are really excited to work that day. This is Jim Hightower saying, sure they are. Excited as in agitated.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
You know, I did read there is nationwide over 1,500 protests planned at Walmart stores.
Really?
I don't know if we had one here in Dearborn or not. In some cases, conservative sources say, but it's not even the workers, it's union groups that want to come in and organize that have gotten together homeless people and paid them a couple bucks to protest Walmart. I don't know. That's, you know, many sides to the issue.
Sure.
But certainly minimum wage is way too low. It's way lower than it should be percentage-wise based on what minimum wage used to be, let's say in 1960 even. And in order to keep up with inflation, is that the size of your stomach after Thanksgiving? No. In order to keep up, minimum wage should be raised. Yeah, and it just, you know, paying people this desperation salaries, not just poverty level, but desperation salaries, and then they force them to work on holidays on top of it, not right. Well, we got to move on. Today is the American holiday, as set up by a Canadian group, Adbusters.org, Adbusters Foundation, Buy Nothing Day. That is in the U.S., November 29th, today, and they suggest you participate by not participating. Yeah, it is definitely true that, you know, if you got to buy something, what you buy can make a big difference. Ultimately, if you buy things that are, number one, good for the planet, and maybe buy things where the profit goes to something that's a little bit less mammon-like, then it's not a bad idea. For example, well, we're talking about a couple things coming up, one tomorrow here in Dearborn and one in nationwide, and one next Tuesday also. But by the way, if you're listening in Canada, and I know you can hear me in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, International Buy Nothing Day, just because it varies from country to country, is actually tomorrow. It is Saturday, the 30th. So if you want to support not at least fiendishly buying like crazy for no good reason, then tomorrow is the day to do it internationally. Today, supposedly, is the day to do it here. Now, of course, what have been the result over years of Buy Nothing Day? Can anybody show numbers about how much less money is being made? Not really.
But no. And far more people participate in the buying frenzy than the buying nothing.
You know, even if you're just on a budget or something, don't buy things you don't need. I know that's hard to say, but, you know, consider a Christmas holiday that's more about spiritual things or family things.
Or making things.
Yes.
You know, did you ever do that when you were a kid?
Well, no, but my my daughter, for example, has said that she has finished making things now for the whole family.
That's awesome.
And she's been working on it for months, but
yeah. But you know what? She enjoys it.
I hope it's not food because some of it's going to be stale. But no, it's not. It's other little crafty things, and that's fine. That's wonderful. It's an expression of love and concern. You know, to actually put your own personal sweat equity into it, I think. So we'll give you some other ideas here, but wanted to mention that actually, conservative commentators have brought this up. Thanksgiving, as originally first mentioned as a holiday by George Washington, the President Washington, as a one-time thing, was primarily to thank God. That's right. And here we all thought he was an atheist or a humanist. But the holiday that he proclaimed was to thank God for this country, and especially to thank those countries that were good to us, you know, during the Revolution.
Sure.
Like France.
Right.
And, you know, not England. You know, he carefully crafted the phrase so that especially those that helped us, we want to thank them. But God, and when Abraham Lincoln made it an official holiday in 1863, he also said it primarily should be to thank God. Kind of interesting. Of course, this goes along with the time of year called Advent. Sure. And the Christian tradition, of course, celebrates in different ways. The Roman Catholic Church starts this sort of countdown. People know about Advent calendars where you open little windows on a little house or something on the wall or
Advent
something.
Advent wreaths as well.
Sure. Yeah, they count down the 25 days of in this case, from December 1st, this Sunday, until Christmas, the day that historical Jesus was born, supposedly. But I looked that up, too, and it turns out that, interestingly, it's not supposed to be too celebratory because in the historical tradition, especially the Catholic Church, you're not just celebrating the arrival 2,000-plus years ago of the Christ, historical Jesus, birth of historical Jesus, but you're also, and maybe even more so, anticipating the arrival of the second coming. Whoops. Because that's the whole end of this experiment on Earth, and, you know, that's going to be quite an upheaval, and
yeah.
I'm not necessarily looking forward to that if I was a Christian, because, I mean, all the good people say, oh, that'll be wonderful. Christ mm-hmm. will come back, and he'll get rid of all the bad people, and all the good dead people will become alive again somehow, and, you know, I'm not a theologian here, but I was surprised to see that. Also, a lot of the churches for many years, because the Advent was a spirit of penitence, almost like the Lenten fast for 25 days. Wow, get hungry. But that sort of faded away now because people are celebrating so much, and you know. And of course, it's like Thanksgiving would come and eat like crazy for the, so you don't have to eat for the next 25 days, or you respect the Friday fasting or something of that sort. But they've sort of gotten away from that now. But that's the Advent story. Okay, I'm sure you're excited by that. Tomorrow in Dearborn, though, we want to go down this calendar sort of upcoming days, and then we'll get into some news about Dearborn, of course, and the surrounding area. Small Business Day. Now, that's a national holiday. It's a Saturday after Thanksgiving every year. And even the city of Dearborn has proclaimed everybody should shop locally. You know, find a local business in West Dearborn, East Dearborn, and look for stuff there. And I'm not sure anybody talked about the big box stores, because they get profit year long, but sure. The small businesses, okay, the ones that only have one location maybe, or just one or two, and they're local. So consider them. The story in, I think it's patch.com here, although it was just a press release from the city of Dearborn also, that, and we want to thank Patch, because according to this, thanks to Patch.com, there will be free parking in West Dearborn tomorrow. Okay, Patch will pay for parking from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. tomorrow. Why can't the city just do that? If they want to help the small businesses, why can't the city of Dearborn, if they're not going to end paid parking, can't they have some free parking holidays? I mean, parking holidays. But no, Patch. And I can just see the city. They got people working at every place, people working there, keeping track of how many cars go by, and they're going to bill Patch. I just, you know, this crazy idea in my head. They're going to be so nitpicking that they will send a bill to Patch on Monday for how much they're owed for these cars.
You don't think that Patch just kind of gave them a round figure ahead of time and said, you know, we'll get it done this way?
You know, I don't trust bureaucrats.
Okay, well, no,
they do it that way, you know.
Clearly.
I mean, if it was free, just put the gates up, let those people go home. Of course, then they wouldn't have their job, and they wouldn't make money sitting in a little booth either. But
that would save the city money.
And, yeah, right.
It is interesting.
Now, I know the parking towers, they need to have guards and people patrolling that, because things could happen on those upper floors if there's not some inspection going on. So they have video cameras. You know,
but nobody uses them.
But that's another reason maybe not to park there, because they're not much used, unless there's somebody watching those video cameras every moment, that something could happen that you don't want to have happen. Anyway, thanks to Park on Patch, as they're calling it, West Dearborn, free parking spaces. Parking meters will be covered to identify the free parking spaces. Oh, not all the meters?
Well, if they get overflow, then they can start charging.
I don't know. But anyway, and American Express, too, if you can go to the American Express website, if you have an American Express credit card, you can get a special 10%, or is it $10, discount if you shop locally. The problem is, even for American Express, it's a limited number of people in an area that can sign up online.
Okay.
So thanks, American Express. You're only allowing so many people to sign up for that buy local discount.
Whereas it should be the opposite, unlimited, to encourage
Come on, how much is it going to hurt them really for one day? Jeez. How many people have American Express cards, you know, too? I mean,
it's true.
But, you know, it's always a good idea. Can you do your shopping locally? Explore there first. I do want to correct what Dennis said last week. Sorry, Dennis.
Sorry.
But you actually gave a big plug for last Sunday shopping at the new market at the center.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was canceled.
Was it?
It was canceled 3 days before.
Okay.
And I'm cringing at home while I'm listening to the show.
Oh, really?
No, it says in the copy notebook here at WHFR, they're not going to start until the 22nd of December.
Okay.
But that's good. That's a lot of local merchants, pretty much. It's going to be Christmassy things. So the center will host a local market. It might be some food, too, but probably a lot of Christmassy things that you might want to get at the last minute. But that's free to get into at Dearborn's Center, also known as the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center.
That'll be once a month, right?
It'll be once a month until they get back outside.
All right.
Yeah, which is
April or May.
End of May and 1st of June, somewhere in there it's been in the past. So third Sunday, as you correctly said, and I turn the page, Koronek. Okay. Here it is. It is from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Right.
So that's the hours, but that's not till the 22nd. But there might be some local merchants there, too. Okay. Monday is Cyber Monday. But I found, since I just looked at my email this morning, is that most of the email, most of the vendors online that I'm already associated with, they've just started sort of a Black Friday, Cyber Monday sale all straight through.
Yeah.
So I don't think that much more is happening. The Apple sale, I went to the Apple store today. It's the only time of year Apple gives you some discounts. Okay, the only time of year is Black Friday. Turns out it's a credit that you don't get for like 2 or 3 weeks to come back to the Apple store to buy something more. It depends on how much you get, $25 to $75, depending on what you buy initially today only. Geez, they couldn't extend that through Cyber Monday, and that's not really a credit if you're not intending to buy something else from Apple, but you can't take it directly off your purchase today.
You can't.
So that's crazy, all these little detail things. This is not the spirit of giving. You know, it's the spirit of making money.
What can you buy for $25 from Apple anyway?
Right. Well, yeah.
You would use that against a bigger purchase.
Mm-hmm. And Tuesday, though, we wanted to mention, and Dennis showed me the postcard I got from the Detroit Institute of Arts. Nationally, it is actually Giving Tuesday. It's a national day of charitable giving. Your gift will help preserve the museum for future generations. So any nonprofit you know of, and we're going to talk about one local one coming up, but there's many national ones, and obviously the Detroit Institute of Arts and others, they have a museum store. You can buy stuff there. Why wait till Tuesday? Support your local nonprofit organization as well as small business. I just gave one example. As some of you know, I'm a pacifist, and I support causes that are not going to cause war. And just one of them out there that I support, Nuclear Age Peace Foundation.
That's cool.
They actually have a shop online. You can go to them at NAPF, NuclearAgePeaceFoundation.org, or also WagingPeace.org. And they have Christmas cards, and they've got bags. One of their slogans this year is, "Nukes are nuts." So I'm sure you want to get your tote bags and your
coffee mugs
sure, that say nukes are
and
nuts
that's,
there.
And everything's 20% off through Monday, and some items right, are up to 50% off.
Right, at this Nuclear Age Peace
that's
Foundation,
awesome,
as it turns out. So I'm just saying that's another way you can help the world. In the past, I bought Christmas cards from Sierra Club. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're even available. Somebody has a little stand next to the Girl Scout cookies at a store that they've bought a whole bunch of those Sierra Club cards, and they're selling them for the same price, but they're just, you know, they're volunteers for Sierra Club and members, and they sell them for the same price you get them online, but they're just making them more available to you, and then they're giving all the profit back to the nonprofit organization they're part of. So consider supporting a nonprofit organization, your favorite, whatever that is, and get some of your Christmas presents or Christmas cards from them. I think that's a great idea. But Tuesday officially is Giving Tuesday, and I didn't know that until I got the postcard. It's a national day of charitable giving, although any time to give to a deserving nonprofit, I think, like WHFR every spring. Yeah.
People can go on our website and shop for merchandise as well.
Yeah, and donate to WHFR directly on our website, which is WHFR.FM.
You got it.
WHFR.FM.
And I will say, before I forget, that the mm-hmm. opinions expressed here on the journal are not necessarily those of anyone here at the college.
Right.
Especially considering nobody else is here at the college.
Tomorrow. Right, yeah. And, well, there's those guys repairing the roof on the administration building next door.
So yeah, okay, well.
Burning the
probably won't be there.
They're burning the hot asphalt all day today. And boy, they really have to get it burning because it's freezing out there still. But nonetheless, let's get into the stories here for Dearborn and the surrounding area. I know you've been waiting patiently, but I didn't know about all these holidays. And by the way, happy Hanukkah. That goes on for another 5 days. First time in many years that Thanksgiving and Hanukkah start on the same day. And it apparently won't happen again just because Hanukkah moves around a little bit. For 70,000 years.
Yeah, so.
I guess I can't wait for the next one. So,
So what is it called? Thanksgivica.
I love
it.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's been talking about, since Seinfeld is not as popular anymore, Festivus?
Don't know what that is.
You don't know about Festivus?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it's the celebration really for non-believers
okay.
Of any religion. And it was made, actually a joke that was created within Seinfeld episodes of when that series was on the air. Uh-huh. And the tree is just an aluminum pole. And when they get together to celebrate it, it's an aluminum pole, I think. One of the things is acts of strength. And this is just comedy writers who made this up, right, for the sake of the show. But they actually would have the Seinfeld people, and they did it a couple of years in a row and had different humorous plots related to it, that they would get together and celebrate Festivus. And you can look it up, folks, and they're still selling the trees. You can buy a Festivus aluminum pole tree.
That's so funny.
And you can, one of the activities is get together, not to eat food, but feats of strength. So like arm wrestling or something. That would be one of the Festivus activities.
Okay.
Sort of like pumpkin chunking.
Pumpkin chunking.
You don't watch cable TV, I guess, Dennis. For more than 30 years, people have got together to see how far they could throw pumpkins.
Okay.
It probably started around, it's about 30 years ago, apparently, and for 8 years, one of the cable channels, the one that does the Amazing Science Feats, Amazing Marvels or whatever show.
Modern Day Marvels.
Modern Marvels, yes. And then they investigate, the science behind it. So those people, they host it every Thanksgiving. They have apparently it's a national gathering. And they have hundreds of people now, and there's categories. This is not individual people throwing pumpkins. They devise machines. And there's various categories. Some machines are just powered by springs or catapults.
Sure.
Some are actually cannons that are powered a variety of ways. And they have these different categories for competition of how far you can throw it or how far you can set it. And the only problem they have is with the pumpkins, because one of the variables, it turns out, is the quality of pumpkins. And so apparently the pumpkin-colored pumpkins are not the best choice.
What are the
pumpkins? Because they're too soft, and they become, it's called pies, in the air. So after they're thrown out of these devices, they sort of disintegrate before they hit the ground, so it doesn't count.
Right.
So you've got to choose pumpkins, gourds of some sort.
More gourd-like.
Yeah, that are more able to take that kind of force and not become a pie in the air. I'm just saying, some people celebrate the holidays one way, mm-hmm. and those last night I just happened to watch, for no reason, pumpkin, it's not pumpkin, it's pumpkin. Pumpkin chunkin', so it can rhyme more. So, okay, to each their own. Festivus or pumpkin chunkin' or whatever. It doesn't hurt anybody, right?
I hope not. But you chastise me for watching sports,
right? Yeah, it was an accident. There was nothing else on. I'm honest. Or there was a James Bond movie. I think I finally turned over to.
Okay.
In the city of Dearborn, in beautiful city of Dearborn, we had a press and guide last Sunday from the 24th of November, and shame on them. They chose a story about Henry Ford Community College, made it the lead story in page one. HFCC general fund savings fall by nearly $9 million. Well, if you read the details, though, this is old news. Okay, it's just auditors just got done making the report official to the Board of Trustees, and so that it is kind of news because it's now official.
Right.
But we knew this months ago. What has happened since June, and June was the end of the fiscal year, not right. Now, that money, all the savings were gone. That's why we had these millages, for
the
Pete's sake.
Point of everything.
So we could build things back up. We were broke, okay. So it's not news. It already happened. And we've already broken even, or will through the spring semester, right, because of things that our new president has done. Mm-hmm. Again, this was under the past president and a lot of the past vice presidents and our previous controller. So those people are all gone here, folks. So if you read the paper, said, oh, yeah, that college, and we just got done voting them a millage, and shame on them. Now they lost $9 million more dollars? No. That was gone last year. We told everybody about it. Everybody's different here. And things have balanced out now, and thanks to the new millage, we can start building up the reserve again.
You know, and that was the press and guide, I think. And I've been noticing a trend with the headlines. They're just sensational sometimes, or I don't want to say misleading, but
that, well, that certainly was kind of, because it's not the current situation.
No,
and it hasn't been for 5 months,
and it seems like each week that there's some example of that, and that bothers me.
I'm not blaming the writer. Again, stories are placed and the titles are created by the editors.
That's true. Anytime I wrote a story for the Press and Guide, I basically just made this the title as simple as I could, and then Tim Powers changed it.
Okay, here's the Dearborn Heights story. Apparently the Dearborn Heights city budget is holding steady, and they're going to maybe break even by the end of this year. Dennis, you are out there working in city government. So everything is copacetic?
Apparently, yes. They don't like, some of the people on the council don't like how they got there. And as we've talked about many times, and Tom Berry had a very, very comprehensive editorial in the Press and Guide after the budget was passed, they're using money they get from writing tickets. And as you and I have even talked, that's an unpredictable source of revenue. But it's working. So it is working. It's what they, cutting on overtime and then raising more money and generating through the courts.
That's speeding tickets or other kinds of traffic violations on Ford Road.
Well,
and it's not just west of Telegraph, but it's also, you know, Dearborn Heights, and it also shares Ford Road coming to Henry Ford Community College.
Right.
So, like, it's only, it's
like the Dairy Queen is
the border is right there running down Ford Road, I think, in terms of Dearborn Heights.
South is Dearborn and north is Dearborn Heights.
That's right. But they give tickets on both sides.
Both sides.
You know, and I just feel sorry. A lot of the students coming to the college are new each year, and they're new to driving, and they don't know the speed limits there. You would, because they vary. By the college, they become 50 miles an hour on Ford Road. But you go another mile west, and all of a sudden it's Dearborn Heights, and it goes down to 45 and 35 really quick.
Yeah.
And so, and then what, you know, what's the speed on Telegraph?
45.
That's, Telegraph is only 45?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It, well, anyway.
It's 50 when you get further north, way north.
Oh, okay.
By like,
okay.
Southfield.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, usually traffic goes a little faster on Telegraph, and you would expect that with eight lanes divided highway. And then you turn on Ford Road, and it looks, oh, we got a lot of lanes here. And no, if you come east to Henry Ford Community College, it's 35 until you get to. So they make a fortune on HFCC students who just don't understand, and it doesn't sound logical, but I've always, in fact, the last time I had the police chief here, who's a nice guy, the fire chief is Gurka, and
Andrew.
I can't remember the
chief
police
Gavin.
Gavin, yeah, they're both fine people, and they're doing a great job in a difficult situation, as they say.
Very, yes.
But I had to criticize them about the tickets, but apparently it's vital funding for Dearborn Heights.
And again, Tom Berry he railed against it in public and in the papers, but it is working, and they're quick to point that out.
Well, it's kind of bad PR, especially this time of year, as people trying to shop. There's really not much. Well, there's a little Dearborn Heights shopping east of Telegraph, but it's mainly Dearborn Heights shopping west of Telegraph.
Right.
And they're going to give tickets anywhere. So watch your speed in Dearborn Heights anyway.
That's really the answer.
But maybe, you know, I don't know why you couldn't just drive up to the police station, give them a contribution to the city, and that would allow you to speed a little bit.
You would think.
For maybe a week. I mean, you could be 10 miles an hour over before they will hit you. Because now, I'm telling you, folks, they go for 1 mile an hour over.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
Honestly.
In the first 10 years coming to the college to teach here, I got numerous Dearborn Heights tickets myself there on Ford Road. I would just forget.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I couldn't believe I'm a mile or two over the limit, and the guy's swooping down with his lights, and like I'm a big-time criminal, you know, and I didn't know it was just to help the city budget.
It wasn't back then. This is a very new thing.
Well, it must be worse than ever. Oh, well. Okay, so the budget is holding steady. Any other Dearborn Heights news that you can actually mention on the air?
that's a good call. No.
Okay. Obviously, folks, there is Janet Battelow did not win as mayor of Dearborn Heights, and it's her final month or two on the council as sort of a quote-unquote lame duck,
right?
Because she couldn't run for both. You know, she had to choose, and it was a tough decision, but she thought, I guess, she could win the mayor's race. She didn't, and so she's been putting out some resolutions that have been somewhat controversial and not being approved, but so a little bit of a troublemaker there. But you know, she had some strong opinions when she was running.
Exactly. This is
so. Why not continue to express these until her time is up? I guess so. I don't begrudge her for that. I would expect it almost.
But what's interesting is that she's looking for support from the people that will still be there, and that's not happening because they still all have to work together. you know.
Let's take a break for Jim Hightower's other comment, which is about, and it's important this time of year, agriculture. Talk about food on Thanksgiving. Here's a Jim Hightower comment. I've got a big story, several big stories from Dearborn papers from last week coming up after Jim Hightower, but listen up to agriculture.
Nicholas Kristof, a New York Times columnist and former farm boy, says, quote, "The central problem with modern industrial agriculture is not just that it produces unhealthy food, mishandles waste, and overuses antibiotics in ways that harm us all. More fundamentally, it has no soul. This is the driving ethic of the good food movement. It rebuts the insistence that agriculture is nothing but a business. It certainly is a business, but it's a good business, literally producing goodness, because it's a way of life for hardworking people who practice the art and science of cooperating with Mother Nature, rather than always trying to overwhelm her. Small-scale farmers don't want to be massive or make a killing. They want to farm and make delicious, healthy food products that help enrich the whole community." This spirit was summed up in one word by Lee Jones, a sustainable farmer who was asked what he'd be if he wasn't a farmer. He replied, "Disappointed." To farmers like these, food embodies our full culture, a word that is sculpted right into agriculture and is essential to its organic meaning. Although agriculture is now flourishing throughout the land and has forestalled the total takeover of our food by crass agribusiness, the corporate powers and their political hirelings continue to press for the elimination of the food rebels and ultimately to impose their vision of complete corporatization. This is one of the most important populist struggles occurring in our society. It's literally a fight for the control of our dinner, and it certainly deserves a major focus as we sit down to Thanksgiving dinner this year. This is Jim Hightower saying, to find small-scale farmers, artisans, farmers markets, and other resources in your area for everything from organic tomatoes to pastured turkey, visit www.localharvest.org. That's www.localharvest.org.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out. HightowerLowdown.org.
You're listening to the new WHFR Journal for November 29th, 2013. Jay and Dennis, we're right here with you today. And the big story locally, one of the big stories, is proposed state legislation has upset our Dearborn School Board. Folks, the legislature is at it again. And at a recent school board meeting, Superintendent Brian Whiston, the award-winning
superintendent.
That's right. Best superintendent in Michigan or something, right? Was that the award, Dennis?
It was.
Talked about
it
last week.
Surprised him.
Okay. I just thought, I mean, he is asking, and not directly because he's talking to the school board, but he's asking parents and concerned citizens to contact their local representatives. The only trouble is our two representatives, George Duraney and Morris Hood, have already come out against these four proposals, but these four proposals are probably going to pass and be signed into law by the governor. Why? Because it's all Republicans. It's Republicans that are doing this. And what do you think of these? Are you a Republican? Do you like these things? First bit of legislation is to get rid of the color-coded grading system.
Okay.
I think it's five different colors, sort of like Homeland Security had colors for threats, and the threat was always yellow or orange. I mean, it would never be red because that means we're under attack.
Right.
But it was always yellow and orange. So the question is, well, if it's always yellow and orange, why have it?
Exactly.
Okay. We always might be under attack.
Well, that was the first thing I do in the morning.
It's crazy,
get up and see what color alert we were.
And of course, it's not fair. I mean, some people suggest they have big colors flashing outside the schools.
Yeah.
Are you yellow today or orange or are you red? I mean, you know, it's crazy. What do those things mean? Well, they're going to go back to letter grades if this legislation. So instead of five colors, they've got how many letters? A, B, C, D, E. So, oh, five. I'm sorry. But you really want the letter E on your school? That says all kinds of negative things more than a color would even to me.
So are you saying just to get rid of the system completely?
But that's not it. Because most people would say, well, the colors are stupid anyway. Get rid of the colors.
Right.
Okay. No, I think there has to be more gradations
as opposed to five.
But And of course, what are the criteria? That's a mess. We've already gone over that the criteria don't make sense because Dearborn schools are doing great things in several areas, and yet they lost out by a point or two out of hundreds of points. So
Edsel Ford?
Yeah.
It got a red rating or whatever it
right,
is.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. But this is the point. That's the worst part. It's in that same bill, that same legislation. The legislation would move evaluating schools from the Michigan Department of Education, who supposedly knows something about education,
sure,
to the legislature,
who knows so much about education.
They don't know anything about education, you know, and they're going to micromanage these people that know nothing about education. Oh, they might have been educated once.
Sure.
But I'm not sure they remember.
Mm, it's been a while.
I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, most of them are old.
That's true.
Okay, they don't remember, and they don't know what the schools are doing today. Why? Because they've never been in one today.
Right.
They haven't been in one for 30, 40 years, and that's just because of their age. It's not because, you know, they choose to stay away. Anyway, so this trustees were immediately wary here in Dearborn, given the way the legislature and governor in recent years have continually changed requirements for schools, including what they must do to be eligible for best practices money. That's that little incentive,
right? Right.
To do legislature wanted things. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. Like the dashboard, you're supposed to have a dashboard
right.
on your website. Yeah, upfront information about how the school district is operating, and I don't know, money or test scores or whatever. There has to be a simple way on your website that it can be displayed.
Sure.
It's called a dashboard. I'm not against that, you know, but it's crazy that they're going to bribe you with extra money to do some of these things. You say, well, it won't happen unless, well, but who is deciding whether these things are good or bad? The legislature.
As opposed to
the
teachers.
The MDE, the Michigan Department of Education, maybe knows a little bit more about managing education. They've got some former superintendents there,
sure.
you know, than the legislature. So yeah. to move the evaluation of schools to the legislature is crazy. Just as crazy as when we, the voters, a couple of years ago said the legislature must not be able to make the decision whenever they want to that a state needs to be under state control. I mean, a city needs to be under state control, you know, like emergency financial management.
You're talking about those statewide ballot proposals
right.
from last
we
year.
We voted down giving the legislature the right to just say, oh, we think you're in trouble, and by the way, we're taking you over totally. We're tyrannically taking you over totally. Why? Well, you haven't gone broke yet. You haven't done anything wrong. We just don't like the way you're sort of doing stuff. No reason needing to be given. Well, we voted that down. 3 months later, in a lame duck session, the Republican legislature and, thank you, Governor Snyder, voted the same thing back in for themselves.
It was just a year ago.
Yeah. And made it unable to be voted out by petition again, by a vote of the people.
That's right.
Talk about, you know, right in your face to the voters. 3 months after the voters said, we don't want you to be able to just go in whenever you want to and take over a city and throw out all the contracts and just do whatever the heck you want to. No, it's got to be some criteria. And there were some criteria. There was emergency financial managers under Granholm, under the Democrats. But you had to have certain criteria be met before the state had the right to go in and take over the cities. And this is unconscionable. But now they want to go in and give the legislature power to set the criteria for judging the schools. And Amy Scholes, she's got several funny quotes here, and this is from Press and Guide again, November 24th, week ago Sunday. Why don't they just run for school board, she's telling these legislators. Because this is school board type stuff. I mean, if they want to micromanage like this, why don't they just do this? And she said, I thought I was just hearing things when this came up.
Right.
This is crazy. This is unbelievable. She says, I thought I was just hearing things. And Whiston said, I wish. I can't make these things up.
Right.
They, you know, they're so crazy. But that's the proposal. Another proposal going through the legislature, and it's almost definite it's going to happen, okay? It's a Republican proposal, and they got the majority, and the governor's a Republican. Another proposal would require schools to retain any third grader who who is not proficient on the MEAP reading test. In other words, he can't go to the next year.
Right.
Last year, that was one-third of Michigan third graders. One-third didn't pass the MEA reading test in the third grade.
So they couldn't...
But what do they read in the third grade? Dick and Jane go to school? No, I mean, what do they read these days? Oh, are they? Okay.
I think so, but what, you're not saying they were held back. You're just saying they didn't do well enough on that particular aspect of the...
Well, but now it's expected to be even more kids that will fail because they've switched to the Common Core and online testing.
Well, that was a mandate from the state.
From the legislature, yes. Right. So that's going to be even more kids. So, I mean, will anybody get to the third grade at all? Or the fourth grade?
And this feeds right into what we talked about last week.
They won't get to the fourth grade.
With the overcrowding of the elementary schools and the middle schools, and this is precisely
why. Kids are coming up from second grade or to the third grade, but there's one-third of the third graders are going to be stuck in the third grade for another year?
Right.
Or more now because of the new changes to a more strict test. A third piece of legislation, you like that second one? Third piece would require every school to have EpiPens in case of a severe allergic reaction.
Okay.
That's those little antihistamine injection pens, okay?
Somebody has a peanut allergy or something like that.
But guess what? The legislature is not going to provide funding. They're not going to buy the pens, and they're not going to provide money or training on how to use the pens.
But we have to use them. Or not we, but the schools.
Yeah, it's supposed to be there, and you're supposed to use them.
Isn't there something, if it's something's mandated by the state, don't they have to at least
prove? We don't even have a mandated nurse or doctor in each school.
True.
Okay? And yet they're passing out pills from the principal's office. They're doing all kinds of medical things, and we don't even have certified people. Well, they're certified somehow, but in this case, the legislature's not telling us, how much do these pens cost? I bet they're not cheap. They must be because they're the single injection thing. They're probably $5-$10 each or more. They get a discount on CVS for a quantity. But the school, there's all these mandates, as Whiston said here, mandates for the school that have gone through that you got to do, and nobody provides money for them. It's just out of control. Now, it's a great idea to have EpiPens.
But don't you think that the kids that need them most already have them and bring them with them?
Well, the parents should know that, you know, the schools don't have them. Yeah, right.
But they wouldn't have even, well, I shouldn't say this. This is going to sound really naive. I was going to say they wouldn't have even brought this up had there not been a need, but that's not true. Sometimes there's things
I think legislators, they got nothing better to do, and they don't have people telling them really what's needed. I mean, we don't do that much. We just send them up there. Well, what can we do today? Oh, the manufacturer of EpiPens, the big pharma company that makes them, thinks that everybody ought to have them in the school. And let's pass a law. Why not? What we need is more laws. You know, I'm saying pass a law and provide the funding for adequate medical personnel in the schools, and they can make these decisions. And they need a supply budget or a medicine budget, like for Band-Aids and so on. And that should come from the state, for Pete's sake, because every school should have these medical people, I think, with certifications that are professional. And they could do the training on the EpiPens as long as they're there anyway.
Right.
You know. But the pens, you want to make them required that every school has them? Okay, give us the money. You know, that's crazy. And last but not least, and our board members are just steaming at this point. Final piece of legislation would require schools to publicize when they run emergency drills, including gunman-type drills. Publicize it to the whole neighborhood, to everybody. We're going to do a fire drill today. We're going to do a gunman drill today. Well, guess what? Police, fire, and the FBI have told institutions, don't publicize these details.
Right.
Why? Can you figure this out? Well, first of all...
You don't want the bad guys to know.
No, but even the people in the school, it's got to be a surprise.
Right.
What good is a drill if you know it's coming? But then, hey, you tell people when you're going to have a gunman-type drill, and that's when the gunmen decide to actually show up.
Sure.
Because nobody thinks they actually will during a drill.
Right.
The police and the FBI are saying, don't publicize it. And our legislature is saying, oh, it should be publicized. Who are they talking to? Do they talk to any experts? Who put this in their mail? You know, some company.
Somebody.
That has to do with making signs for emergency drills or something. Mm-hmm. Somebody some lobbyist, right, representing a private business interest, they're the ones that got it to our legislators.
Right.
And they got it to all of them because it looks like it's going to pass.
Right.
Even though police and FBI and fire say, don't do it. Crazy. And who are these people? I'm sorry, I might like some conservative Republicans, but it's a conservative Republican agenda that they're just lockstep in line nationally supporting primarily for-profit big business interests, and they don't listen to the reality of what our schools need from the experts, including police and fire and FBI. And, you know, and as Whiston said, these people are lobby-proof, except by lobbyists who are going to get this profit.
Right.
They're lobby-proof from the real people, us, because mostly, I'm sorry to say, they're not from these districts. They're from outstate districts. They're from rural districts, and they are conservative. And for whatever reason, maybe some of their people want these things, but I don't even think that a farmer would want these things in their schools either, who voted for some of these conservative Republicans. And shame on our governor if he signs any of these into law. And, you know, he's coming up for election, what, next year?
If he runs.
Yeah, right. Not next year.
No, he is.
It's a 2016.
Is it?
Or 2014? No, it is 2014.
2014.
Yeah. So we can vote Snyder out. And but locally, we're already got Democrats who are not in favor of anything,
right,
these four things that I just said that are so crazy. Okay? So, okay. Oh, Amy Scholz. She had to follow up here. Okay, last point. This is really important. Amy suggested that the district create its own policy. Oh, no. Why did it? Mary Lane added that she had heard that there were plans to introduce legislation that would allow people to openly carry guns in schools. Get this, folks. Whiston said that that is actually the law now. It's already been done by our legislature. Although the perception is guns are banned.
Really?
Right.
So who has the right to carry a gun?
He didn't say.
It's not anybody.
I don't know. He didn't go into details
because
here.
Wasn't that the change in the concealed weapons,
or is it just certified people in the schools,
maybe,
who have open carry permits already? I'm not sure, but I don't think it's everybody. Don't go into school with a gun out, folks.
No,
they already
no.
suspended a few people, and they'll send the SWAT team in.
Exactly
right. But anyway, Lane said we should be outraged by this proposal. She didn't know that you can openly carry guns in schools now,
right?
During the same meeting, the board voted to expel a student for bringing a weapon onto school. And that was an airsoft gun, mm-hmm. a little pellet gun. He was expelled because it wasn't even a gun, you know. But anyway, Mary Lane also said a few years ago she asked friends and relatives from across the state to contact Governor Snyder and their local legislators to speak against similar proposals. She said it would not take a lot of calls to get the message to them. No, you can get the message to them. They're just not going to do anything about it.
Right.
It's the pecking order of politics here. She also suggested that the district create its own policy banning guns from Dearborn schools. Such a measure should also be presented at Wayne RESA. That's the county of Wayne runs the special schools. They call them RESA, but
okay.
They used to call them something else.
All right.
I can't remember what they called them. That thought was added by Trustee Joe Guido. And Pam Adams said, I think that's a wonderful idea. But Amy Scholz noted that people are not allowed to smoke on school grounds or even buy a soda during the day. Okay?
Right.
She was frustrated that Lansing keeps trying to micromanage schools. That's legislature or Michigan Department of Education rules. You can't smoke on school grounds, but you can openly carry a gun somehow. Somebody can anyway. And
but you can't carry a smoking gun.
And you can't buy a soda during the day. I didn't know that. That's, you know, people rant and rave against Bloomberg for his rule about the giant soda purchases, which have been reversed now in court.
Right.
You can buy your 32-ounce Big Gulp now if you want it. Are there free refills on that?
I don't think so.
Oh, too bad. So Scholz was frustrated that Lansing keeps trying to micromanage schools. And she says that's because the legislature is trying to be school board members. And I didn't say that they were being good school board members, she went on to say. She said, I think we should pass open carry at the Capitol. And you know. So
she's being funny now.
Open carry of guns in the legislature.
Yeah.
Take them right in the and then we can talk about schools. You know, how would they like it if they got open carry guns right there staring them in the face as they try to pass some of these laws?
Some of the stuff they've had going on up there with almost, I mean, not riots, but the confrontational nature of things. No,
well, we've had some protests, you know, and rightly so. I mean, that's the place to nonviolently protest because supposedly these are the people that are going to pass or not pass these laws, propose laws or not propose them, and nothing like getting in their face. In a nonviolent way.
But what if the protesters have the right to bring a gun?
Open carry.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, I don't know. But so that was a very heated school board. Man, if you have any friend with any legislator or the governor, by all means, let them know how you feel about these crazy laws. And the legislature taking over the grading of the schools. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Good news. Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, we're looking at two locations with the city of Dearborn for their new shelter. Looks like the city of Dearborn is going to give them, well, there's some strings attached, and it's not final until January when the new Dearborn City Council gets together.
That's right.
But they're going to give them basically the train station area.
Yeah, it's either that or the land, which I think the city wants them to have that, but there's the land available directly behind Centennial Library.
Yeah, which is a bigger area. They'd actually, I think, prefer that,
Well, there's a cost involved because they're going to have to get rid of that building, the old train terminal.
Yeah, I heard somewhere some city council person said, oh, that could be their administration building. Then they only have to build a pen for the animals. No. What do you know?
That won't work.
That building is right next to the tracks.
Yeah.
I mean, people can throw their garbage out the window of the train and it hits the building. You know, I mean, that's a boarding area, which is not going to be boarding trains anymore. They can't keep that. They're going to have to tear that down, folks. I made a joke about how they need to soundproof the walls so the animals wouldn't be disturbed by the trains passing. But that's going to be needed anyway in that location, wherever they put it. But it's got to be further away. I also know that the building has to be large enough. They may not have enough parking.
That's right.
At the train station area. You say, well, the train station, they got room for about, I don't know, 80 cars or 100 cars maybe, something like that. No, that's not enough if you've got to build a building bigger than the current shelter facility, which it'll have to be in order to accommodate more animals.
So you're saying that they're going to take up some of those parking spaces with
they'll
the building?
Have to.
Sure, sure.
The building has to be large, so I don't think it's enough space either. Maybe the city council, if you got any friends there, have them review this. It's not finalized yet, but the good news is they may be able to officially start the construction. It says in the story that they're going to move in 2014. Well, they got to build a place first.
Sure.
You know, how long has it taken to build a train station? And the train station is delayed now until next August.
Right.
Because of they got to change the plans and do a bunch of stuff. And it's moving along. We need a bigger area for the shelter. The shelter is not run. It's a small contribution from the city, but pretty much all 90% of the money to run that place comes from volunteers. And from local support. It's a wonderful nonprofit.
The city's given them money, too, though.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that the animal shelter would rather have that money go toward building the new place as opposed to demolishing an old building.
Right. But it's a volunteer thing. Okay. We got a couple events coming up tomorrow. The Dearborn Fire Safety House, which is on Outer Drive just north of Michigan Avenue. Santa's coming, and they're having open house, and they got free food from 6 to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hope you can make it there. It's going to be, well, today also, Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. today and tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m. And Santa gets there promptly at 6.
That's so cool.
Now, this is the Dearborn Fire Department. And all the food and all the other festivities there. It's going to be great for the kids. And if you want to make a contribution to the Dearborn Fire Department,
they will let you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, give them some money, too, for this great experience. So Dearborn Fire Safety House, north of Michigan Avenue, off Outer Drive, just on the west side of the street there, before you get to Dearborn High School. Santa's coming, 6 to 8 p.m. tonight and tomorrow night. Nutcracker is going to be at the center. That's sort of tradition. Apparently, it's some group from Taylor, and that's going to be 8 p.m. on 12-6. That's next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be at 1 and 7 on 12-7. No, no. Yeah, right. 12-7, which is next week Saturday. Is it?
I think so.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, because the first is Sunday.
My granddaughter turns 6 years old next Saturday, the 7th. Yeah. Anyway, so two performances of Nutcracker at the Center, if you want to be part of the usual holiday tradition, 1 and 7 p.m. next Saturday, but just at 8 p.m. next Friday, December 6th. Okay. Victorian Christmas here, Dennis.
Well, oops. Yeah, I put everything away here.
Well, you can't read. Okay, right, okay. This guy's glasses off. So I have my glasses on. Saturday, December 7th also, that's a big day in Dearborn, week from tomorrow, at our Dearborn Historical Museum, they're hosting a Victorian Christmas open house at the museum's Commandant Quarters, the Historical Museum itself, as it's known, on Michigan Avenue, corner of Mason Street, from 1 to 6 p.m. next Saturday, December 7th. This is the Victorian Christmas house. Now, Santa's going to be there, too. Santa and his helper from 3 to 6 p.m. I guess at 6 he goes over to the fire safety house. I guess. I wonder if it's the same Santa. I don't know. I wonder if he rides his sleigh down Michigan Avenue going from one place to the other. But the Dearborn Historical Museum has this great Victorian Christmas open house at the museum, Dearborn Historical Museum, a week from tomorrow from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we hope you can make that. And, of course, coming up next here on WHFR.FM is Highway 61 with Joanne Korczynska. And I'm going to turn it over to her. This is WHFR Dearborn. Thank you for listening. Go to the web anytime, WHFR.FM. Consider making a generous donation to us and to other nonprofits too at this needy time of year. We'll use the money very wisely for good purposes, let me tell you. But thank you to all of you for listening, and let's go right on into Highway 61 opening theme. It's WHFR Dearborn.
Clarksdale, south of Memphis, Tennessee.